Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
A bad motherfucker, riding through the night.
Hey.
A 50 motherfucker and I love
come on
bike. Picture me rolling on my chopper on rims. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Out and out, chin check the dose, and need to ask for the ticket after ticket. Man, I ain't gon' pay.
Yeah.
Better do 30 days locked up at CJ.
Let's
twist the throttle, let's hit the rolling.
Yeah.
My drag bike on my bike, get the
hey.
Blow in.
A thug motherfucker street calling
hey.
Me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat.
Come
don't approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I don't like half the motherfuckers
hey.
That live in my hood. I'm a 10-year roller to the bone.
Put 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole.
Fuck what you heard, homie. I'ma always
hit
a bar. My home was my rubber, but we never ever fall.
Come
at the
on.
End of the day, we can always stand tall.
Yeah.
The gov don't like me, oh fucking well.
Yeah.
I guess you can call me the angel from hell.
Hey. a bitch when it's time to death. I don't rap punchlines, I just rhyme the truth. I speak what's on my mind when I hit the booth. To all my fallen comrades, I like to say, rest in peace. No more living life in the belly of the beast, my team.
Mostly helmet tickets and dogfight tickets and things like that. go to boltofcalifornia.com.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good read. There's a lot of good read there.
We're just trying to give you information. Like, you got a tool belt. We're trying to put tools in your tool belt. That's all we're trying to do here. I want to talk also very quickly about the AIM non-con motorcycle services. AIM is the Aid to Injured Motorcycles and the National Coalition of Motorcycles, NCOM. They're sponsored by the law offices of Richard M. Lester, and I'll give any commercial anybody that's trying to help the motorcycles. If you need information, you want some relief, no matter what state you're calling from. In fact, we know that from, it doesn't matter what country, Australia, whatever. There are legal organizations over there trying to help. But if you don't reach out for it, what's the use of having the services there?
And if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Exactly. Philip is probably the best example of somebody I know who deals directly with the police department. Without trying to embarrass you on the spot, how many stops did you have, legal stops, last year?
61.
Okay, now, if you people said, hey, you know, I got stopped two times, three times last year.
Bill, what's today? February what?
5th, 6th.
5th. You know how many stops I've got this year?
Since January 1?
Since January 1.
That's like 1 month. Three?
Oh. I guess.
I just guessed.
Double digits.
Is it?
Double digits.
All right, I'll go three. I'll go 11?
No.
17.
Got one this morning on the way to work.
Okay, now. Is Philip a troublemaker? No. But when something's going wrong, Philip stands up for his rights and he talks to the police department over and over. Now, what's the flip side of this negative bullshit? Because he's got major exposure, they stop him all the time. Now, I have got long, long gray hair. They don't stop me. But Philip has got long, dark hair. By the way, he has receding hairline, folks. Down his back. They stop him all the time. Philip could quit. He could change his motorcycle. He's got a hot ride El Camino from hell. What year is your Camino?
73.
He's got it's gloss black. Motorcycle's gloss black. He stands out. But he doesn't quit. Now, we're not asking anybody, and I repeat, together we agree on this, we're not asking anybody to break any laws. We're asking you to stand up for those laws which you have out there. If the laws are wrong, get together and change them. If your neighborhood needs a stop sign, get together, put a stop sign in there. We had a recent officer here in North County who was writing people tickets because they're, the earpiece, what'd you call it?
No, the sidebar on your glass.
Sidebar, that, thank you very much. They said that the sidebar was too wide and it was causing...
blocking your peripheral vision.
Now, we believe that there's better things for officers to do. And we were, hopefully, that's pretty much all stopped now, right? I don't know anybody else got that crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just, it depends. You know, he's gotten people left and right. So, you know, it's going from there.
I was out last night, and I was down by the Strand, this little strip right on the beach. There really is no sidewalk.
Someone just told us they decided not to wear panties anymore.
This should definitely pique my interest in here. So I'm on the sidewalk. Excuse me, I'm on the Strand, a single lane, going traffic going one way. There's a painted line for people to walk. It's late at night. There is nobody anywhere. So I park my bike on the other side of the painted line. Nobody's walking. Take my jacket off, blah, 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 blah. I go inside, meet a few of the brothers, and bam, cop car outside. He didn't give me a ticket. He just said, Mr. Kennedy, if you'll just simply move your vehicle. And I pointed out, there's no traffic. There's no people. He said he's got to follow the job. His boss says he's got to move. It's got to be done. So I fired my bike up. The other three guys actually were inside the house already. They fired their bikes up. We went a couple of miles down the road. We got to a main intersection where we were heading for a party last night. And, I don't know, I guess we're still a little irritated about the cop just kind of, not hassling us, but bugging me. We all jumped on our bikes hard. Just my comma. Another police car. Now, to this day, I have no idea why or how, because we passed on the left and the right of all the traffic, up the middle, which way you can. The cop didn't follow us. And I don't know. All I can figure is some days you get the bull, some days you get the horn. So, or because of my gray hair. I know if you were with me, Phil, I'd probably be in jail right now.
Yeah.
But the point is that we live in a town, Oceanside, California, which is a, it's just tough on the bikers. I'm not saying we're choir boys or anything. I'm just trying to say that we have to deal with the fact the police are out there, and we don't get along well with them.
Yeah.
You, in your town, we encourage you to develop some type of rapport with the police. But the same way, you can't quit riding. You can't say, well, I'm going to sell my bike and give up. Who have you hurt? You've only hurt yourself.
Yourself. Your, why you give up your freedom?
Right. When we had the helmet law, so many people said, I'll never ride my bike again. Ooh, that really hurt the lawmakers, didn't it, Phil?
Yeah.
You know? Didn't that must have made the policemen so upset. You've only hurt yourself. So no matter what city you're hearing me from, no matter what country you're hearing me from, remember, it's your responsibility. Do something about making it better. And if for some reason you don't think you're doing a good enough job, I assure you over and over, you're making it better for your own kids. So that's about it on that. You and I, what do we got? We got some rides coming up. We have the races coming up at Del Mar, California, Southern California. We have the short track races. That's coming up next week. We'll be at that event. What do I? Actually, I didn't mention you. I'm telling right now. Babe asked me to come out to their meeting on Sunday, about 20 miles from here. So I'm going to get out of my nice warm bed and drive to the Bay meeting. If they have night meetings, I'd make more meetings, but they have these morning meetings. I don't know what that's about. So I'm doing the Bay meeting this Sunday morning. Then the following Saturday, we have the races at Del Mar. And then we're coming up into, quickly, we have the Yuba Prison Run.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Laughlin Run, and we got Vegas Run. For many of you adventuresome people, in May, we have the El Diablo Motorcycle Run going down to mainland Mexico. Excuse me, negative. Going down to Baja, California, and I'm absolutely brain dead where the first stop is. La Paz? No. San Felipe.
Okay.
No. We cross into the county, but first stop will be San Felipe. We spent 2 days in San. You go online, check this out, El Diablo Motorcycle Run. Put on by a company in Temecula, which is Riverside, California. The company's called Biltwell. They make a lot of good motorcycle parts. A lot of their crew has a big party. I like their attitude. We ride about 500 miles one day, get to the point, park the bike, and then for the next 2 days, just get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 days rep, we fire the bike up. We ride across Baja to Ensenada, Mexico. Spend 2 days getting stupid. Wake up, shake the cobwebs out, fix all the broken bikes, and we ride back from Ensenada. That's coming up. And for you adventuresome people in Arizona, California, please don't forget in November, Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco for you Espanol-speaking people,
hey, and,
which I am not.
We're going to have April 5th through the 10th,
oh.
Rosarito spring break bike run.
But what's going on also in April?
Yuma.
Oh, we know that too. Big Bear?
Yeah.
We
no.
Got a big...
No, that's May.
May, okay, that's May. I'm sorry, yes. That's
can't
coming up.
Can't really talk about that
one. Yeah, that's coming up. Yeah, we got another coming up with that.
Yeah.
We've got also, again, if you mention people, look up Rocky Point Rally. Look up in Espanol, Puerto Penasco. I lack the ability to speak anytime Espanol. But look up Rocky Point Rally. Come down and meet Phil and Bill at Rocky Point if you want. We are always out somewhere. In fact, I was 605 miles from home, deep into mainland Mexico. And a girl walked up to me and she says, oh my gosh, aren't you Bill? From the Phil and Bill show, I said, yes, I am, little girl. I said, am I what you expected? She goes, oh, you'll do just fine. Next words out of her mouth, where's Phil? Okay, listen, boys and girls. We don't always go together. There are rides up. He does in Northern California. I do more rides in Southern California. But you don't get that asked a lot.
Yeah.
Because when we talk on the radio together, well, actually, you control the whole thing, and I do most of the talking. You're switching buttons and doing what the heck you're doing with that.
Yeah, you know, I just got a message about government regulations from the VA. They're talking about net worth, the asset transfers, and income exclusions for needs-based benefits. proposed rule document was issued by the Department of Veterans Affairs.
The VA, when I left the military, when I joined the military, excuse me, when I was drafted, I want to stress that, when I was drafted, the government, my government, made a lot of promises to me about some events that were going to happen to me, how they were going to help me, and since I got out, they've pretty much broken every one of those promises.
Yep.
In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, boys and girls, I just went down to the VA, though I have my own insurance and all that, and I signed up. I have a VA card, but they told me it's best I don't use it, because the VA is so backed up here in San Diego that they'd have a hard time getting to me, and they can only do the critical cases. We have the overworked, underpaid doctors at the VA, leaving the VA in droves, going into hospitals and private practice, making big money.
They use that for the residency and then take off.
And they move right on, yeah. Anyway, I know you other vets out there listening, everybody's probably got a quick story to say about that. They promised us the world when they got us in the military, didn't they?
Yep.
Here's your uniform, here's your rifle.
Here's your $213 a month.
And time to get out, and nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. We have a lot of our people who work in the VA for the VA. These are stand-up people. It's just, as a veteran, I'm not asking for anything special. I don't ask for anything. I don't need a single ounce of disability. I don't need nothing. But I am saying those friends of ours that did come back injured, we're asking for them to get the help that they needed, get the help that they were promised. They were told if they came injured in the service,
at least give a reach around.
Not your department. I'm not going there. No. Every now and then it just comes to you out of the blue, doesn't it, right? I'm trying to have a conversation here, and you get lost on me. Well, I'm not going to talk about everything, but I want you to know a good friend that you and I know just finally sold his Indian motorcycle. He went back to Victory. I'm just waiting for him to come back to Harley-Davidson again. That'd be a nice sign. We don't want to mention his name. I don't want to insult Indian or Victory. But the reason Phil and I stay with Harley-Davidson all these years is because they stick with the same girl I took to the high school dance. I don't care if Victory is superior, and they tell me it is. They tell me Honda's superior. I don't care. 1964, I got a Harley, and I've stayed with a Harley, and I've stayed with a Harley, and I've stayed with a Harley. You'll tell me, well, the other motorcycles, the metric bikes, are so much superior. Maybe they are, but I don't really care. I stick with what I know. You know, I told you, I didn't mention you, but, you know, I'm running around with my dyno all the time now, but get me summertime. Let me put a bagger up.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell everybody, listen to me. I don't mean a bagger, but I'm going to get a Road King. And I'm going to kind of set it up for some of my deep Mexican trips. I got to carry a lot of stuff with me. And my Dyna, it looks good.
Phil, you don't have to pack a suitcase. You carry extra.
I'm an old guy.
Extra skivvies, socks, the toothbrush.
Well, wait a minute. Phil, I'm a single guy. I forgot these things here, you know.
Okay.
Well, people hadn't tuned in, and my wife has passed away of cancer some time ago, and I sometimes truly just go right back to, you know, sometimes once a day I go to the phone to call my wife up, and I forget she's passed on and all that, but you're right, I don't need to take all that stuff.
No.
Wow. Maybe I'll keep my little hot rod down a bit longer.
There you go.
Which is, I hear about you thinking about putting a big old motor in your bike soon. Thinking about it?
Yeah.
Can I ask you how big you can go up to, maybe?
Zipper 113.
How does that affect your transmission?
Well, it affected it up.
Like, what have you done to compensate for it? If you had a 5-speed transmission.
I was told to just run what I got.
Did you ever convert that to a 6-speed and a 5-speed? No.
No, it's got the 5th-speed. I knew the 6-speed.
Well, that's what I meant, yeah.
It's got the gearing.
Give me a little sales pitch. I know which shop did that for you?
Oh, Losing Cycles, Rusty T-Rod.
Yeah.
Did that. And then, got a call about a motor.
There you go. Your bike goes
down until I get the motor.
Your bike now goes down the road sideways faster than most people down the road straight. By the way, I saw T-Rod at the races.
Mm-hmm.
T-Rod's got his own shop now. Do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, T-Rod Speed Shop.
Oh, he's pretty basic with that. What town is he in?
Anaheim.
good friend T-Rod out. He is a old school person. He's a racer. He's a little bit of everything. And I saw him last month at the races, and he told me definitely he's looking forward to seeing you and I. What are we doing now? Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go to the races on Valentine's Day. Now, I'm not racing. But every time I go to these races, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, maybe I got one more race in me. But there's a friend of ours, Snowman. He's with the Boosevers in San Diego. He's my age, and I speaking to him before the race last time, and he said that because he had a bad case of the flu and all that, maybe he wasn't going to race. And I'm thinking, it's been part of my history watching that old guy race. Maybe I got one more in me. I don't know. Don't hold me to it. Don't ask me about it, folks. I don't know what I'm going to do there. So what's new in your world?
Well, you know, we got, I got a message today, though. You know, we're going to have what they call the Department of the Internet.
No, you know I don't anything about that at all. I don't even stand it. What is it?
What do you always say about what we're doing right now? This is the what? The last what?
Oh, I'm telling you, every time we touch this, we sell another increment of our soul to the devil. Right now, what Philip and I are doing by trying to disseminate this information, I feel sometimes we're the last bastion of honesty. Philip and I don't receive any money. You cannot bribe us. Well, you can bribe us. Try us. It might work.
Yeah.
But we've never received any money. We want people across America, across the world, motorcycle-related events and people events, charity events, whatever. Call us up and tell us what's going on. We want to share information. Where else can someone from Chicago call
us? I just got a message. People are saying, hello, and this and that. Bill hasn't been here in a while. And Bill's talking, so I'm going to let Bill talk. And anybody that's in the chat room or on hold right now, we will get you in the next couple of minutes. I'm just letting Bill get everything off his chest.
Yeah.
Now, before you do that, what I'd like to do is let you listen to this thing about the Department of the Internet.
Your broadband technician is scheduled to arrive shortly.
Here to install your broadband.
Come on in. Who are you?
Deputy Director, Department of the Internet.
Department of the Internet?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
I'm here to make sure that your service meets our monitoring requirements.
I didn't sign up for that.
Oh, don't worry. Your compliance is included. It looks like you have a webcam.
I do, but
you're going to need an approved camera.
Who are you?
Got a smart refrigerator here.
Does this connect to the internet?
We just need to assess your online behavior. How else are we going to look after you? Have a seat. And are you going to be watching videos?
Yes.
How much video?
I'm not sure.
Will you be streaming music?
Yeah.
Will you be shopping online? And will you be tweeting, liking, sharing, pasting, posting, or pinning anything anywhere on the internet?
That's why I have the internet.
All right, hold on.
Oh, no, please don't go.
I'm sorry, lady. You're in their hands now.
We're almost finished. We just have a few more forms for you to sign. Go ahead and sign here. Check there. Full signature. Check. Signature. And social security number.
Turned off the comments disabled for this video.
Well, What we're doing is nothing against the government. We're not doing anything that the Arabs over there need to worry about, the ragheads. What we're doing is we're just people talking to other people. And we have slowly, we're going to lose this. You and I were talking the other day, it won't be too long before our children, when they're born, they're going to have a chip placed in them for safety.
Yep.
So in case they get kidnapped, we can find them right away. This generation, these people that are listening to me right now, folks, we're the end of the end of the end of. There's not going to be any more people like us. The next generation is going to be content to just go along with the program. And I'm certainly not trying to say, you know, hey, the world's coming to an end. I'm not trying to say, hide your head in the sand. I'm just trying to say that the conversation, the people we speak to tonight, we are, I don't want to say a dying breed. That makes you sound kind of pessimist, but when we end and the next generation steps up, the government's going to control it.
Because, you know why, Bill? This gentleman tells it the way it is. This is our buddy George Carlin.
He was ahead of his time. Everybody listen to me right now. Why can't we just say, hey, our leader fragmented. As long as we stay fragmented, we're going to be little people, insignificant people. I don't know how many bikers there are, thousands and thousands anyway, just in America alone, just California alone. We have no clout. We have no ability to get anything accomplished because we argue among ourselves over petty things like ego and attitude. Someday in my lifetime, and maybe somebody listening to me can hear this, maybe the person's out there now.
This guy's got something to say, Bill.
Well, I like to hear what he's got to say because I like him.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Mr. Sensitivity, right there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If there's a man or woman out there that's thinking that they need to step up and represent the motorcycle world, you need to step up now. I've been around for a long time, and all I seen was regional leaders that get caught up in their own ego and own attitude. So again, if there's a man or a woman out there who thinks they can represent all of us, I think you agree with me on that. We'd listen to a man or a woman. I wouldn't care what color you are. I wouldn't care anything or what type of motorcycle you're riding.
Hey!
Somewhere we need us coming together. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, bring some of the listeners in there because I'm about I'm right on the edge of getting in too much politics, and I don't want to do that too much tonight, you know. So listen to me. How about the first call is 708-539. Why don't you come on board and say hello to us. Tell us where are you calling from, your name, please.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Phil. It's Nora from Chicago. How are you?
We're nice and warm. How are you, dear?
I'm nice and cold. It's like 11 degrees here.
You know, I have friends of mine that live in Palatine. How far are you from Palatine?
About 45 minutes.
Okay, they say they're miserable.
Well, I don't know how much snow they got on Super Bowl weekend. We got within 36 hours of snowfall, 21.5 inches of snow.
But I
grilled out on Super Bowl Sunday.
I think we got somebody that beat you on that one.
Well, yeah, on the East Coast, yeah. But I was cooking out in the middle of a blizzard. I didn't care.
My bike sparked. I got a shirt and I have a light jacket. And that's it. And
I have sweatpants on, boxers on, t-shirt on, and a zip front hoodie on.
No. Like
well, no, actually, we both saw a post that said you were going commando from now on.
Yes. And that's okay, because in men's boxers, you're actually commando.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, when Bill and I saw that, we both, Bill first said pictures.
And we certainly appreciate the pictures from all of our friends out there.
Sure. I guess I'll have to post that on the blog, huh?
You will?
No, not the blog. What do you have?
Not the blog. Just
where everybody sees everything. Hey, men's boxer briefs are cool.
Hang on for a second. Stacy's trying to jump in. We'll get you both girls on the same. Stacy's which number, Phil?
Right there.
508-933. Stacy, you want to jump in and join us?
Howdy, calling from Rhode Island. The temperature outside is 16 degrees with a wind chill factor of minus 11. We have about 3 feet of snow outside, but I want to be the first to say that I am calling from the home of the world champions, the New England Patriots, that took down the West Coast and tore you guys up one side and down the other. Ah, it's so good now. I feel good. 30-year Patriot fan. There is no better joy than this. I don't care about controversy. I care about that winning interception. Right there spoke volumes. And you know, there's a lot of controversy with the coach making that play. But honestly, we had three plays left. If we wouldn't have stopped the ball from if we would have stopped the ball from going in, they would have kicked. It still would have, I still would have been 1 point behind. So any good coach would have done exactly what was done. You know, try to play. You're going to try to score. And unfortunately for the Seahawks, Patriots caught that interception, and the rest is history. So
the
it's
Seahawks,
all good. But you know,
who are the Seahawks down to 5 or 6? They had a powerful running back. They had 4 downs. They could have run it in. Why they threw the pass, I'll never know. I do not understand that at all. They could have found it in, I think, for it. But, you know, hey, the important thing is it really was a Super Bowl game. It wasn't just another boring Super Bowl. Last year, it was like 20 points difference between the two teams. This was a game everybody enjoyed. Well, the second half, first half, I kind of fell asleep a little bit. It was kind of a little too slow, but what the hell. Of course, Brady throwing 2 interceptions didn't exactly make me thrilled to death, but, you know. But anyway, they all put a good...
I wanted to touch base on, you know, the little snippet you guys did about internet monitoring. Not to be, you know, grotesque or sound stupid, but I had read an article once that, you know, said if you take your phone with you into the shower, to put a little piece of paper over the lens. And I'm one of them people that takes my phone in the bathroom when I take a shower because I listen to my music. And I've been doing that now for a couple of months because I don't trust it. So I put a little piece of paper in front of the camera because if you read some of the apps that you download to your phone, it states in some of those apps in the fine print that they can access your cameras on top of your pictures, on top of everything else. And there's so much that is going on in the mobile world of technology. I don't trust any of it. Like you were saying, you know, we're selling our lives away by text messaging. And, yeah, I absolutely agree. There's too many easy routes to tap into a person's phone. And, you know, they can do it through computer, too. But I think a computer can be a little bit, just a little bit more of a secure system versus phones accessing all type of Wi-Fi at, you know, any Dunkin' Donuts or local coffee shop. But, you know, females should really take, you know, some warning from what I'm saying because a lot of women, if you go online and you look at the statistics, have had pictures taken of them that they never took. And they've been sold to online sites, etc. And then there's some women that, you know, have got more kahunas than I do and take vivid pictures of things that we shouldn't talk about. But, you know, those pictures are being stolen from their mobile device. And no matter how you sum it up, it's extremely wild.
Yeah, we got a caller that can tell you about that right now. 303, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, this is Ryan from Colorado, owner of KR Productions and Twisted Pixels Photography.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
How are you girls doing tonight?
Not too
cold.
Bad. You?
Cold. I know, I'm going to tell you what, today in Colorado, it was warm. I was in a T-shirt. So just so you know.
Oh, but,
So it's supposed to be 70 this weekend. I'm loving it. Hearing about the photos being taken, you know, I've heard that a lot with people getting their computers hacked. So many people never change their initial password from 4 zeros or 1234 or whatever the factory settings are, which makes it easy for anybody to hack in, have your password, and how they do it, I don't know, but they can sure get stuff. But I've had people go onto my
You
want to
know where
you're page.
Ryan, you want to know where you're standing in your house right now? We can tell you.
I want to know where
you're
right now. Everybody wants to know. Listen, want to know.
Everybody does.
No, want to know. The whole world wants to know. No, we can't tell information.
No, we won't tell
them.
If you take a photo with your cell phone, because of the new technology and the GPS stuff, they can actually, within the data of that phone and the digital data, it gives the GPS location. So So if you're taking family pictures and you've got your baby and there's a pedophile that comes across those pictures, if he has the know-how, he can track down the GPS location that image was taken, which is why it's a good idea to turn your GPS off on your phone. No reason to put yourself in that position. But back to the pictures being stolen.
Right? How can we shut the phone off? You take the battery out, but that's not enough, is it? How can we
that it's also got some sort of a nuclear battery in there. I don't know exactly what it's called, but some kind of thing that keeps all your other memory and your other data going. So it's a nice safety feature if you ever get lost and they're trying to find you that route. But, you know, depending on the phone, I don't even know if a lot of them will let you do it anymore.
There's two batteries in your phone. One keeps up the memory.
Right. But can you get the second battery now, or is that firmly sealed into it? That's my question.
No, you can take it out.
Okay, I didn't know
it's
that.
It's like a earphone or ear hearing aid battery. It's small, but it's pretty potent. It keeps up your memory.
I had a meeting with some people, club people, well, not club people. We had discussed something there, and the one guy took the cell phone, took the one battery out, and on his, he took the second one out. He said, now no one can hear us. My thought was, why don't you leave the damn phone in your motorcycle before you came into the restaurant? But they're that concerned that what's going on is being listened to, recorded, whatever. So I don't know. It doesn't make me happy to know that I'm in America and that I'm being monitored and I'm being looked at and I'm being watched. And first of all, I'm not doing anything illegal. But it does kind of get on my last good nerve that this wonderful country that my great-grandparents came to, it's not the same country.
No, it's absolutely not.
What are you doing?
You haven't changed the chain, Grandma.
We don't know what's happening right now. Hang on, everybody.
We're going to be.
We're going to straighten this out.
Tough to separate business and personal, which I have always tried to do. I've had several relationships through the time of shooting with people, and it's always a very touchy subject, and there's always jealousy that gets involved. And, you know, it does. It absolutely makes it tough. So you've got to find somebody that's confident enough in not only themselves, but in what you do, and preferably someone in a similar industry that understands that, you know, even though you're surrounded by these people, it is still something that you consider work, and that you're not looking at them in that light. You got to, you know, the first couple times you do a photo shoot and you've got some naked person spread out in front of you, it's a whole different situation than after you realize that this is a piece of art and we need to capture it as artwork. This isn't something to be objectified or taken in an ill fashion. So you really have to have that respect for who you're working with and be able to look at him in a manner.
Hey, what's going on? You want to hang out?
Some hot chick that's, you know, posing in front of you. You've got to find all of the fine points and make sure that you're representing them to the fullest. So that's, you know, absolutely fun. I meet a lot of great people, and they all turn into excellent friends. But, you know, you've also got to deal with their other half. Jealous boyfriends, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah, boyfriends. How did you, or how do you ascertain if a girl comes in and you have a car advertisement commercial? How do you ascertain the importance of her skin tone, the color of the car? How do you match up the color of the dress or the bathing suit? How have you learned those skills so you can put together? I say it's like a giant puzzle. All the pieces have to come together. How did you ever, I know you can't learn that in school. I'm sure they could teach in school how to take pictures. But how did you learn how to put the full package so the people and the product come together complementary, not contrastual?
You know, that's a very tough thing because I can't hardly dress myself in match colors. But what I try to do is I get the whatever object I'm shooting, whether it's a bike, a car, if we're going to do some sort of a fashion assortment, I try to give the model as much of that information as possible so that they can look at it and not only make it their own, but make it something they're comfortable with. Because I might look at it and see a blue car and think that whatever color is going to look perfect with it. But if I pick out the colors and the girl doesn't like it, it's not going to work at all. However, mm-hmm. if she picks out the colors, she already knows what makes her feel her best as far as coloring with her skin tones and everything else. And if she knows what color this car is, she's going to be better at picking those outfits than I ever would. So I put a lot of trust in the girls that I work with to not only do their research, but know enough about what they do so that when they show up, they're looking and feeling their best. And that helps me to shine because they're comfortable. As long as they're comfortable, you're going to get a lot better shots. You put them in an awkward situation, it's going to show and nobody looks good. But probably the biggest thing that has helped me is watching people's comments. And if I put up a picture and I get just slammed with website hits, comments, things like that, obviously that's going to be something that's great. But it may not have been something I initially thought would go over. So a lot of that, you do the best you can, and then you hope that it appeals to the masses.
So some of our people are like curious, when you do a photo shoot, can you tell us how many rolls of film you might have to shoot before you finish a shoot?
Oh, my God. I tell you what, when I first started, I was trigger happy. I would do a couple-hour to a four-hour shoot, whatever. I would have, I mean, we're talking thousands of pictures, literally pushing the trigger as fast as I could because I still really didn't know what I was doing, and I had a crappy camera, so I was hoping for the good shot. As it is now, I did a shoot a week and a half ago. We shot for 45 minutes. I got 65 frames out of it. We only threw away, I think, six of the pictures because the model was either blinking or I caught her laughing or, you know, something along those lines. So over time, it really helps to work with the same individuals because you develop that rapport and you seem to get a lot better shots. And by taking the extra time and doing slower shots and really focusing on what you're doing, you get a lot better product without having as many throwaways.
I know that just recently, Philip and I were in a magazine. There's a picture of about five of us up at the Easy Rider Bike Show. Sure. My eyes were closed.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled me back and said, you know, you know, I shot the picture and your eyes were closed. I went, hey, then you should have pointed out to me, hey, can we take another shot? The hell do I know my eyes are open or closed? I could have been blinking. I could have done anything with that. But I went in the magazine,
yeah.
And I'm a guy. Nobody's going to care if my eyes are open or closed. It was just a joint shot. But something like that, the model doesn't, I being the model this time, I'm not aware of where the photographer is at that time. So how do you guide the model? Not that you force them along, but how do you get them to follow the path that you're trying to get to? Some of your techniques, if you would.
Well, we start off usually by talking about the concept, where we're going to be, what we're going to be shooting, kind of some ideas and parameters, basically what they're wanting to get out of it, what I want out of it, always what their boundaries are. If I don't know what their boundaries are, I can't represent them the best. And you got to know what their limits are. What, you know, you don't want to ever cross the line and, you know, have one shoot ruin a reputation. So you figure all that out ahead of time, and then just in conversation while you're shooting, you can usually tell once you've worked together, when the model gets set, obviously you've hit the trigger and the light flashes and she knows to adjust for the next pose. Makes it really nice because they'll get set, comfortable, look at the camera, you're pretty much done. It makes it a lot harder when you have to do a lot of the posing for them. So I like to make it more where it's about the model and how she's comfortable because, you know, women stand in front of the mirror most of the time and pose and make faces and do all that stuff, whether they admit it or not. So she's going to know what she looks best doing. And then it's my job to capture that in the best lighting and in the way that represents her the best.
Do you have, like, I'm trying to put everything you're saying in perspective here, Ryan. Do you have, like, a check sheet you start off with before you get to know the people? Or do you sit, you go in cold? Or do you talk to them on the phone before you meet them? This is what I'm trying to find out. How does this program work?
Sure. I always start off everything in either emails or Facebook because you've got to have a record. Anymore, everybody is too happy. Words get twisted. People's memories fail. It's just part of life. So I always start off primarily now with Facebook, and I've got the same series of questions I ask every single person I work with. And we establish that rapport to start off with, what they're wanting out of it, all that type of thing. And then I go through the checklist of what types of modeling they want to do, won't do, all that type of thing, until we narrow down exactly what it is their boundaries are. And then at that point, I tell them to send me images that they find that they want to try out, or, you know, they saw whatever girl doing this, they want to try to copy that idea and make it their own. So there's a lot of photo exchange that happens. I very rarely ask the models for pictures of them. I think that's somewhat unprofessional. I think that it needs to be, I can see all about them on Facebook. I need to know what their ideas are. So they'll send me a bunch of pictures. To make sure we're on the same page, I'll send them back some that I've taken or some that are similar, until we narrow it down. Once we've done that and they're confident with kind of where the shoot's going, then I will always talk to them on the phone. I'll never cold shoot anybody because you've got to break that ice. And if there's not a connection, I'm going to know in the first 5 minutes of talking to somebody before, you know, I ever meet with them if it's worth it for me to spend my time shooting them. If they think I'm a jerk or I think that they're not very pleasant to work with, I can cut the ties right then and not have to go any further. But if you end up showing up cold, you're kind of stuck with what you got, and that could be a bad situation for either party involved.
You know, Ryan, hang on one quick second. I'd like to get some response to what he just said. 708-539. What do you think about what Ryan's talking about?
What? You're talking to me?
If you're 708-539, which you always
are. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Blam moment.
Ryan,
you know,
Ryan, right?
Emery. What?
You listened to Ryan before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I have. Always. Whenever he's been on. So, now, how many models do you actually work with where they don't kind of coincide with you getting the right feel with them, if that makes sense?
I've had a couple. Quite honestly, there's been a few that I've talked with on the phone, and either, you know, you can tell by the way they're talking. If I can tell right off the bat that their boyfriend or husband is a huge influence and I can't really get a straight answer out of them, I ask up front the same series of questions, and I tell them I want a yes or no answer. Because if there's ever a maybe, then that means it's a no. Because it's just my line of thinking.
I'd like to cut through a second. Hey, I want you to jump in. You have any comments or questions about what Ryan's talking about tonight? Stacy. Hello? Oh,
sorry. You didn't say 508. Got to say 574 or whatever. Ryan, I actually give you respect for what you do because I'm sure that, you know, like you said, any woman can stand in front of a mirror. I do it. I make all kinds of faces, you know, try to puff my chest out, stick my ass out, whatever. But it boils down to, you know, they have to be comfortable with you to do some of the candid shots that you take. And I'm sure, like, on some level, you really have to get inside their head, too, because, you know, intimidation factor. Every, you know, a woman can be a perfect 10, and she's going to stand in that mirror and say, there's a flaw here, there's a flaw there that we may never see. But you have to, you know, you gotta work against that, like a woman's inside inner demon. And, you know, I give you credit because that takes a lot of mental preparedness, you know, to maybe get a woman to, you know, strike a particular pose or look a certain way. And it's not just all peaches and cream the way people seem to think it is. There's much more that goes on behind the scenes with your work than just, you know, that perfect picture of that beautiful woman. And I think that's where a lot of people really confuse what you do, because what you do is art, you know. And I give you, you know, my hat's off to you, because I think I would lose my mind. But, you know, you seem like a very patient individual. Every time you've come on the show and you've talked, you're very calm, very cool. And it's like, you know, I can envision you taking a woman that may be, like, really at the height of intimidation and kind of coaxing her down to relax and do what she can do. And, you know, again, you know, my hat's off to you, because I couldn't do it.
Well, thanks. I think, you know, a big part of it, too, is when I'm talking to the girls. Well, first, a lot of people don't realize I don't own Photoshop. I don't Photoshop my models. To me, if you have to Photoshop all of your images of everything you take, you're a graphic artist. And I try to capture them as they look. So there's no Photoshop involved. If they've got a pimple, if they've got anything like that, I am more than happy to edit that out, but I edit it with a program that's not Photoshop, because I feel like that's just painting. So what you see is what you get. But I talk to the girls and ask them what their insecurities are, what they do or don't like about themselves, and then I make sure to not capture that portion. So if somebody thinks they have a, you know, they've got a pooch, half the women I work with won't eat before a shoot because they think they get a pooch. I'll have them, you know, readjust so that they know that that's not a case. Birthmarks, scars, any of that type of stuff, you got to tell me ahead of time, and we'll capture you in the best light that makes you comfortable. But it's all about honesty and being open. And, it, you know, a lot of times it takes people a lot of courage to step up and say, hey, I've got this scar that runs down my leg, and, you know, it brings back bad memories. Well, cool, that's something I'm more than happy to edit out. But I'm not going to make you look like a China doll. I'm not going to make you lose 50 pounds, gain 2 inches, any of that crap. You're beautiful how you are, embrace it, and, you know, get the best out of your career. Well, and I think that's really gotten, gotten around, because a lot of people are enjoying the fact that I don't have to do that with my models. And when they see them on the street, they're amazed that they look as good as they do in their photos.
Okay, yeah, right, I'm hearing you saying all this stuff. I want to see if I can get you to back it up a little bit. 720-421, come on, you're on live. Talk to us. Tell you who you are, where you're calling from, please.
Hi, I'm Jade. I called in last week, the model.
Oh, yes, we know you. Everyone wants to know it. Where are you calling from, please?
Colorado.
We know all that, but everybody's going to hear all that. Okay, yeah. So now, is it Jade? No. No, I'm sorry. Never mind. So we're talking about the pros and cons of all. They gave me a couple of girls on from New England and one from Chicago. We're talking to Ryan about. You stop pointing at me. I'm trying to talk to these people. We're talking about the pros and cons of all. We're talking about confidence. And Ryan was talking about a few things. What made you comfortable with Ryan? Let me ask you that question.
Probably his jokes. He's really funny and he's laid back, so I mean, easily, like naturally, that's the type of people I'm attracted to for friendship. So it was, I guess, the natural kind of thing. He's a funny, we can share jokes, have a good time. So I'm so.
Ryan, you hear that quote? You hear this?
I did. I
guess you okay with that or what?
Well, I kind of feel like I'm being made fun of. You know, I'm usually a pretty serious guy, and if she's laughing at me all the time, that kind of hurts my feelings a little bit, but...
What's he want? Yo, this is sad. This is sad.
It's horrible.
I think it's
vital that they have a good time, so whatever it takes to make them happy, make them smile, I'm all over it, and it develops a friendship, too. It's not just people I shoot one time. I get repeat clients, and that says a lot right there.
We want everybody that's going to be tuning in so they can see our lovely lady who speaks to right now. She'll be the babe of the week starting on Monday. So can they see that, Philip?
Bikers of America at blogspot.com.
And she will be showcasing the Hooters. In how many countries offhand? Countries. You were shy before. You won't be shy now. 52 countries. Oh, my God.
Very nice.
Mm. Let's talk a minute because we have different people on the air. How do you feel about imperfections? Now, Brian said that. Excuse me, Ryan. Ryan said that if you had a major scar down your leg, he would do the best to try to cover it up or not shoot that angle. How do you feel about women wanting to be models that do have some imperfections? A scar, a mole on the face. I don't know what it'd be. In my case, I'm 6 foot tall, I have long, long gray hair, and receding hairline. So I'm going in two directions. A bald on top, long hair. Comfortable. I look good. I'm comfortable with that. But people look at me, well, why did he wear a hat? Why did he get a hairpiece? I'm not doing any of that. I'm comfortable who I am. So let me ask the model again. How do you feel about some of the girls that have imperfections? And models.
Well, I'm not so perfect myself. I do have a pretty big birthmark on my inner thigh. It's, I don't know, probably like $2 silver big. And I get that photoshopped just because it can look weird from certain angles. I used to have a lip piercing on my lip, so I have a scar from that. And some pictures that gets edited out. But, you know, it's all based on preference, like what you want in your pictures. I mean, in real life, I'm not going to cover any of that up, but I mean, for a modern picture that could possibly be published or, you know, shown to 52 countries, I would want to look my best.
I have a friend from India, a lady friend from India, foot one. I'm 6 foot, and when she wears heels, that puts about 6'3" or so, and she asked me in the beginning, she goes, well, do you want me to wear, like, flats when we go out? No, you've got to be who you are, in my opinion. So if you like wearing heels, you know, I'm all for it, and you're 6'3", you're 6'4", and I'm 6 foot, I'm comfortable with that. But she initially thought, well, maybe I would feel uncomfortable because the guy's not tall. I don't see how that relates to the insecurity of the guy's part. What are you pointing at, brother? Still, hang on, everybody.
We got another girl. Okay,
let's get 702-481. You want to jump in? Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, yeah, I'm Rachel Anderson. I'm actually a local makeup artist in Las Vegas, Nevada.
So let me tell you how I met Rachel, just to start with. I do.
Is this a PG story? Because I don't want no X-rated stories now. Is this PG rated?
No, never with Rachel. This is totally G-rated. She's a great gal. So
okay, brother.
So I'm going to Vegas again in April, and I'm going to be bringing a couple of my girls along as well as working with some people down there, and I needed a makeup artist. And I got in contact with Rachel, been talking with her for a while about coming out and helping the girls look beautiful. And, you know, She does great makeup work, and I thought, you know, we're talking about modeling and makeup. This would be a great time to kind of talk to her and get her story about her makeup side of things, because we've got the photographer side, and we've got the model side. Kind of give us a different perspective.
Then let me ask you this, Rachel, because this is kind of important. A girl goes on a shoot. Should she have somebody like you there, somebody that's going to be objective, somebody going to be professional? Because maybe she thinks he looks good a certain way, but in reality, because this is your choice, should you be at these photo shoots? Should you be talking to these models, preparing them, making them more comfortable? How important is your job in getting this picture all proper?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, when you're looking at magazines, I mean, the first thing you notice about the person is their hair and makeup, and if it's not really on point, somebody can really notice if something's not. So I'm really there. I'm in the background. I'm fixing their hair and makeup right in between each shot and everything.
Rachel, I did a TV spot a while ago, and I mentioned other people who don't know me have long gray hair and receding hairline up front. Every time we did a commercial, somebody like you come running up to me and kept putting all this powder on my forehead because they said the camera lights were bouncing off my head, causing a hell of a glare. So I guess you have a very important job. They asked me to put a hat on. I go, no, I can't. I don't want to put a hat on. This is who I am. I'm not going to, you know, hide it. So I know your job's a commercial. Somebody like you is running up, putting more white powder all over my forehead, on my forehead.
You know, and
yeah,
honestly, from a photographer standpoint, having somebody there for hair and makeup, I mean, most of the time, they are in your back pocket. And they are like Speedy Gonzales. They're from your back pocket to the model faster than you can realize. Because they're paying attention to every strand of hair. If the wind blows and they have a little Dagwood hair sticking up, those makeup artists and hair people are on top of that fixing it. If it's hot out and they start glistening a little bit, they're right on top of that, too. So a good makeup artist, in my opinion, is essential to having an amazing shoot.
Let me ask a question if I can. Ryan, does Jade and Rachel know each other?
They do not.
Well, that goes that whole line of questioning. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm
now going to find out the whole line of questioning.
I'm getting a little reverb, Bill. I'm going to meet some of the callers that I'm talking to, but I'm not hanging out.
Hang on, we'll try to get back to
everyone. We'll be back.
Let me ask then, Jay, do you think that Rachel is important, a lady like Rachel, or I guess we're a man too, I guess it shouldn't be, you know, sexist, do you feel more comfortable taking care of your own makeup and hair, or do you realize the importance of having a professional like Rachel there?
I would prefer a makeup artist, yes.
Even though they may not know exactly the way you want it, you trust them that they're going to bring the best out in you, is that correct?
I would definitely have to check their portfolio before the shoot, but I mean, if they do good work, I would prefer to have them do my makeup. I mean,
it makes sense.
It's all about
looking
professional.
And I do TV, they never take care of my hair or putting makeup on me, but just my forehead, or top of my head, really, where the bald spot is. Ryan, what is going on in Vegas that you're going out there with your entourage, your group of buddies?
A couple things. I'm going to be shooting with the Best Showgirls in Vegas again, and also doing a photo shoot with the Ladies of the Fury in Ontario, California. So I'm going to be about 45 minutes away from you guys the first
Ryan,
week of April.
Ryan, what is Ladies of the Fury? I'm not familiar with that.
It's kind of like a group of cheerleaders for the Ontario Fury team. I believe it's soccer. But they do a lot of charity work. It's a bunch of beautiful gals that go out and they help kids, go to the games, do all the fundraising, things like that. So I'm going to be going out and doing a photo shoot with them, as well as a brief story on what it is exactly that they do. And then, you know, we'll be getting that published in one of the upcoming magazines as well, kind of bring some more notoriety to who they are and what they do.
I'm sorry, is this going to be like a shot during a game? Or is this going to be something isolated? Or just kind of give me a scenario of how it's going to go.
This is going to be isolated probably at their studio where they work out, do their routines, all that type of stuff. And then we'll help build their portfolio as well as bring some notoriety to what they do for the community. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the game at this point.
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to try to get some, we can help them on that too, get some more publicity out there, maybe a little.
Sure.
Speaking about working out, I think I told everybody last week, I met a young girl that's 23 years old, she's in a marathon, and she wanted to know if I'd join her in the marathon, and I said, have you lost your mind? What is it about me that looks like I could make it a block? And we laughed a little bit, blah, 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 I said I'd join her for the finish, and I got to tell everybody this is hilarious. Later on the night, I was in downtown Oceanside, and a young woman Marine was getting involved in the call. Is the mud run, Phil? These guys and girls go through the mud. They do all this crazy stuff. She said, Bill, it would be so great if you and I could do this together. And I thought, in one day's time, two different young women asked me to go for a marathon with them. I have no idea what anybody could look at me and think I could do a marathon, but I don't know why this came back to me, boys and girls. Sorry, folks, I got lost again. So, well, Phil, maybe we can run up Brian. Maybe have a cup of coffee or tea or something like that. I'm sure he'll bar us from the set or anything. I know that. We'll sit out in the parking lot. Maybe he'll grace us with his presence, maybe. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to make a day of it to be in your area. So I'm going to start shooting with them first thing in the morning, still trying to decide a day. But I'm going to have one of my girls, Ashley, and then I'll also have Jacqueline with me. And, you know, there's a good possibility if we can arrange it ahead of time, we might be able to swing by your shop and say hello and maybe set something up there as well.
Certainly, if not, give us the dates on that, and maybe I can tell you something going on between you and me, some big event we can meet at to get more publicity, more space like that. You know, instead of just going to my motorcycle shop, keep commercial now, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, Oceanside, California, maybe we can find a big event that we're making me bigger splash maybe, you know? Not for
sure.
Myself.
Yeah, that would work.
Program.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Just
and I'm sending Phil the info right now.
What's the date, Brian?
I'll be out there from March 30th to April 4th.
Oh. Phil's got it all down.
So,
okay.
We'll be flying in late at night on the 30th, and then we'll be flying out around noon on the 4th. So I've got basically the whole week is open.
Okay.
So.
And maybe something like Cook's Corner or something really that's a big event? Professional fighters and a rough way to make a living. But enough of that. sounds good. Sounds good. Let me get back to Rachel. Rachel, so when are you going to be in Las Vegas? How long will you be in Vegas for? 1 day, 2 days, a week?
I was born and raised in Las Vegas. I live here right now.
With, oh, so you're going to be there all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Well, if we don't see you for that time period, Philip and I usually swing by for the Las Vegas Bike Week. Maybe you can join us for a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, you and I have a friend of ours that has a small airplane, and he told me he was going to bring his girlfriend. He wanted me to come along with him, the four-seater, and he wanted me to bring this girl, Danny. And he said to me, how much does she weigh? I said, what the hell do you need to know how much she weighs? He said, well, I got to get the plane over the little mountain. And based upon the weight, I'm thinking, I don't want to get on any plane that dictates the amount of weight my girlfriend has. So I didn't take the airplane home. I don't know if you guys ride small planes, but that was a shocker to me. How much does your girlfriend weigh? Do not get over the mountains. That plane is too small. I'm sorry. Back to reality again. Rachel, do you ever get down by the, for the Las Vegas party? Do you go downtown at all, or do you make any of the big events down there? Or do you go out of town like most Las Vegas people do when there's crazy motorcycle people come swarming in there?
I don't really go downtown too much. I do go to location whenever somebody needs me to do their makeup, but I generally stay right in the Las Vegas area.
Because most of my friends that live there, whenever I'm coming in town with the hordes of the motorcycles and all that, they go out of town for the week and they say, no, Bill, traffic is crazy, everything is crazy. I don't want that much crowded people, so I really get to see my Vegas friends because when I come, they all leave town, so. Big lake out there. Isn't there a big lake outside Vegas? No, there isn't. I'm sorry. Mead. Yes, there was Lake Mead. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, over by Henderson.
Yeah.
Yep. Isn't that where they run the bikes across for the Laughlin River Run?
I do believe so.
I think no. It could be done. It would be a twisty and turny. Mostly Laughlin, guys don't get further than Oakman. You've been to Oakman for a film, right? Lots of times. You know, Ryan, that's an interesting town. If you're ever in Laughlin, do take about a 15-minute drive to the ghost town of Oakman. You would find some wonderful, interesting shots in that area there. Have you been there before?
I never have, but how far is that from where Vegas is? About an hour, maybe?
I would say, and Rachel confirmed this, I think Vegas to Laughlin is 100 miles. Rachel, maybe?
Yeah, it's not very long. It's definitely less than an hour.
And 15 more minutes after that. You know, I know you're talking about an awful lot, but have you ever gone up to Sedona to shoot, Ryan?
No, I never have.
Ryan, you ever been to Sedona? Arizona?
No, I haven't.
I try to travel all I can. I don't know if the girls have been to Sedona. Either one of you girls been to Sedona?
No, I have not.
I haven't either. Okay, well, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. First time I pulled in there, the sun was coming down, and I was lucky enough to right away find a hotel. There's a room left, and the lady said, well, sit down here on the stairs with me. I said, well, I kind of want to check in. She goes, I know, but sit down. The sun's going down.
Wasn't that the one you told me,
Hope,
that the 4chan was disabled and she called you a sick bastard?
So the lady wouldn't sign me into the room because the sun was going down and I sat on the steps with her, as we from Boston say, the stoop. And I was on the steps and when the sun went down, all the mountains turned beautiful shades of pink and awful colors. Of all the places I've been, I really think that Sedona is absolutely gorgeous. I don't know how I can make a buck there. But I think that's beautiful, and I'd like to encourage everybody. I don't own any property in that. I'm not part of the public relations department, but that is truly a beautiful visit. Okay, I'm back again. So, Ryan, this event you're doing in Las Vegas, can you elaborate a little bit more as to, is it to the public?
It'll be a closed shoot for the most part. Usually when I go out there, I go to the Showgirls Clubhouse.